Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, presented by the Keystone Sports Network. I'm Andy Shea. Joining me in studio to kick off our show this week, Bob Flounders, Penn State football beat writer for Penn Live and the Patriot News. Bob, how you doing?
I'm good. The Kentucky Derby was very good to me.
Wet.
I'm in good spirits.
No Coach's Caravans tours for you this week.
Really scaled back, but three major stops. I mean,
DC, Philly, and New York, right?
Yeah. Started in New York.
Yes. So as always, you can find all of our Penn State football podcasts online at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, or better yet, download our app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store on your phone. There you can get all of our content as well, streaming live, as well as our tab for your questions, his answers for the upcoming Ask Ross segment. Speaking of Ross, he'll be joining us for the final three quarters today.
Yeah.
We're going to kick off this week with some news and notes, a little bit of some tidbits from the coach's caravan that we're going to talk about. Quarter number two is Tucker's Tape, brought to you by GoPSURV.com. Ask Ross, that segment's brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. That'll be coming up in quarter three, and we'll close out this week with the first installment of our series on your 25 most important Nittany Lions coming out of spring ball. We're going to talk about that. I found some of the where you ranked them interesting, not necessarily the individuals.
Correct.
Which was the harder, the first 15 or the last 10? Going backwards, was 20?
I don't know. It's about even. It really is about even. I would say once you get past one, you can make a case for a lot of different people.
That's a good point. So anyway, let's get some news and notes. The coach's caravan was in New York, Philly, and then D.C. was the order of the stops this year. A little bit of a limited tour as compared to some of the other years. But I think James said something. I forget which city it was in that was very revealing about the Nittany Lions and the coaching staff. Everyone knows that they've had some coaching turnover this year. They had some coaching turnover after 14 with John Donovan, but they've had some serious coaching turnover this year. And he said that the Nittany Lions coaching staff had to stop losing guys to lateral moves. In terms of, in his mind, I guess they're already solidified as a full board top 10 program.
Yeah.
Do you think they are first part is, do you think they're a full board top 10 program? I think they're a fringe perennial
top 10.
I think they're close.
I wouldn't say I would not put them in that class yet.
I wouldn't put them in the class either. And he wasn't talking about like Coach Moorhead taking a head coaching job at Mississippi State and, you know, that type of thing. He's talking more about coordinators going lateral to lateral. But I'm not sure going from Penn State to Alabama is lateral. But did you find that interesting and a little bit revealing?
Well, it was. I think it was significant for two reasons. I agree with you. I necessarily agree that Josh took a lateral position at Alabama.
Yeah, I don't think so.
He lost Charles Huff to Mississippi State. I think Bob Shoup went to Tennessee. That was not a lateral move, but in a good way for Penn State. I think that was a mistake that Bob made, but it was a money grab. I think he was also kind of that was kind of what he. A shot at not a shot, but hey, administration, you know, we gotta pay these guys what it takes to keep them, or maybe even a little bit more. I think he's a big guy. I think he wants a little bit of stability on his staff, and he doesn't want to have to go through off seasons. If I'm a top 10 program, which I think I am, I don't want to have to replace four guys
like you had to this year.
Yeah. I mean, maybe replace one. He saw Moorhead coming. I think he saw that.
Who didn't?
I mean, but Josh. The only reason Josh left is because the guy on the Alabama staff went to the Bills.
Right.
And that was a late move. I think that was after the championship game. But Charles Huff. I mean, I don't know that that's really kind of who he's talking about. But I do think that it was twofold. I think he wants to be able to pay his assistants to stay if there's even any doubt. And moving forward, Brent Pry is going to be a guy that every year he's going to have to deal with. And I just don't know if he won't be dealing with Sean Spencer very soon, especially if this defensive line continues to wreak havoc, especially off the edge this year. But, I mean, I think the more interesting things were, Andy, that he does think they're at a top 10 program status. And we'll know. You're going to know after this year. I think you'll definitely know after this year whether they are
legitimate, like
expected to be in the top 10 every year for sure. Year.
Right.
And I just don't know. I really think that James was kind of surprised by the coaching turnover this year. And I think he doesn't want to have to deal with that.
Do you think it was, I mean, not the entire reason, but how much did money have to do with this, you think? Or do you think it had a lot to do with it?
Well, I think there were some salaries that came out, especially I think with Alabama and Ohio State.
Right.
And they are top 10 programs. And I think that's what James is probably driving at.
Gotcha.
If we're going to play with the big boys, and you brought me in to play with the big boys, and you're paying me to play with the big boys, then you have to pay
those around me
to play with the big boys.
You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show presented by the Keystone Sports Network. We are on air, online, and on TV with Fox 43. When it comes to Penn State football, we've got you covered. We're kicking off quarter number one this week. He's Bob Flounders, Penn State football beat writer. Penn Live and the Patriot News. I'm Andy Shea. We're talking about some news and notes. Most of it's coming out of the coach's caravan. This one is not. We were talking before the show, and you said it's not that uncommon, but it's uncommon at Penn State. So there's four incoming freshmen that are getting a six-week head start as compared to the rest of the class. So you had the early enrollees. Now you've got guys coming in on the at the beginning of the first summer session instead of the beginning of the second summer session. It's Judge Culpepper, P.J. Mustipher, Will Levis, and Freiermuth, the tight end. Mm-hmm. They will all be on campus this weekend and start classes next week. But you said this is more common in college football, but not as common at Penn State. When I read about it, I was like, I'm not sure I've heard much about this.
Yeah.
But
look, these are four guys, at least two of them, I think. The quicker they can get them acclimated, the better the chance they can help them in the fall. And that's Mustipher. Because they're looking for depth at defensive tackle. And Freiermuth, absolutely.
Because of the tight end.
Yeah, no one stepped up in spring.
Right.
I mean, Danny Dalton, I don't want to say it was by default because they did praise him and he did do some good things, although I did see him do some bad things as well.
It was by default.
So they have a hole there, and they need another option. So I don't remember this happening at Penn State.
Right.
But,
and you've been covering them since the early
2000s. Yeah. But I do think this is kind of the way of the world. I mean, this is kind of where it's headed. And there's a lot of rule changes, and there's a lot of adapting, and there's a lot of things going on with recruiting. So I do think it's a good thing for these kids. I mean, they still can't practice until August. They can do like involuntary workouts.
Correct. They can be part of the summer program.
Yeah. They can get used to some other things. And, it interests me the most is just to see how much this will help moving forward, Mustipher and Freiermuth. And just if we ever get a chance to talk to them, if they see how they felt this helped them. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
How much of an edge did it give them? Is it a big deal to get in, whether it's 4 or 6 weeks ahead of time or whatever that, maybe it's 2 months ahead of time. How much did that help them? So I'm anxious to see how that works. This is almost like a delayed January enrollee thing,
correct.
minus the hitting,
minus spring practice,
minus the hitting and the winter conditioning program. So,
and
good for them. I'm really anxious to see how good this Mustipher kid is.
Yeah, I want to see how good he is as well. And just so we clarify that these kids have to clear academics, they have to be done with high school, they have to have graduated. You know, it's not like they're going up to Penn State and they still have some loose ends tied up. They have to be, you know, locked and sealed and delivered academically to be able to even think about this, because, you know, most high schools are still in school. So, and even though all seniors have senioritis this time of year, you know, there's still a couple, 2-3 weeks left before they graduate. All right, a couple more before we get out. I think James Franklin and Sandy Barber kind of made it clear about one of Penn State fan bases, because it's a strong and long fan base. It's been around for a long time, about the Pitt-Penn State rivalry. You know, this old school game ends after the 2020 game, correct?
I think it's this year and next year.
18 and 19.
It's a four-year series.
Yeah, 18 and 19. And then starting in 2020, both of them kind of made it clear that for at least a decade, until 2030, that this game is basically not going to happen. And do you think that this is the right thing for Penn State to be doing? Do you think this benefits them enough that they say, we just need to be done with this game? Because I'm kind of struggling on two fronts to understand the bigger picture of this. What's the difference between Virginia Tech and Pitt? I mean, why would Sandy say that we want to have a more regional schedule? What are your? I want your final thoughts because I hope we don't have to talk about this too much longer.
James has made it pretty clear, almost from the month before the first game in 2016, that you can kind of understand what he's trying to say without him really saying it. That once this series was over in terms of 4 years, it was not going to continue. He doesn't want to continue it, and I think a lot of it has to do with the Penn State's views themselves as the superior program, and
correct,
they're in Pennsylvania as the program. I think he definitely has established that now.
I think he has.
So
for
what
sure.
what is there to gain from beating Pitt by two touchdowns? There's really nothing. Like, they beat them last year 33-14, and I don't know how excited the fan base was over that. But if they lose to Pitt, it hurts them.
We know what that looks like.
I just think that. That's one. That's just probably one of many reasons. The other is I don't think he likes Pat Narduzzi at all.
I wonder
if
that's
we're talking about 2030, but I just don't think he wants to give them anything to hang their hats on. And the driving force probably behind this is one person, and I'm sure Sandy's in agreement. Why would you wanna give an in-state school
an edge?
Any kind of
leg
at all?
Yeah.
I mean,
Auburn, Alabama, same conference, though. That's a big difference. Being in the same conference, I get it. I just don't understand how the superiority thing, which they've earned, does it really matter if you play Kent State or Pitt?
There was a time, I think, when Joe wanted to play Pitt 2-1, like two home games.
Two games, one road game.
So that's not anything new at Penn State. I'm just looking forward, now that it's clear they're not going to renew the series, I'm just looking forward to the smack talk for the next 2 years between these two programs, because Narduzzi will keep that ball in the air no matter what,
yep,
and he's bitter about it. And yeah, but I mean, I just don't think anyone's that excited about Pitt-Penn State as far as the Penn State fan base that's maybe under 40.
So, all right, last one before we get out. We got less than a minute to go, Bob. Do you think in some way, shape, or form, publicly saying what James said about the carpet needing replaced, the facilities that hasn't been replaced for 20 years, that in some way, shape, or form, that he's upping the facilities ante-game in some way? Or is he just saying we don't have the money?
Well, it sounds like that facilities master plan that was introduced a couple of years ago,
yeah,
that wasn't just about Penn State football, is not really at the funding it's supposed to be at. And they're kind of... sounds like they're asking for more money. I just don't think the fans really want to go into their wallets, especially a lot of the more wealthy donors. I don't know that they want to go into their wallets any more than they've had to. It's been pretty expensive last couple of years for Penn State, so he might just have to make do.
All right, that'll do it for quarter number one. Tucker's Tape, Ross Tucker joins us. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
Hey, Keystone Sports Nation, it's Scott Shirley, the Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes, inviting you to join us for the annual Gridiron Gala Saturday, June 9th in downtown Harrisburg at the Keystone Building. Features all-you-can-eat and drink, tailgate food, and special guests, including Devin Still, former Penn State All-American and NFL star, and most importantly, the father of Leah, who courageously beat her rare cancer and inspired millions. Visit upliftingathletes.org to learn more and help us tackle rare diseases. Hope to see you there.